find your seat. Tell the person to your left, Easter is next weekend. Tell the person on your right, Friday, Good Friday is before Easter. All right, three of you. Yes, great. It'll be me and three of you. Hey, it is good to be with you guys. Man, what a wild night, right? Oh my goodness. Man, that was the most intense storm I've been around for a while since moving from Texas. And if you're like me, I got like a couple hours of sleep. Anybody else just a couple hours of sleep? If you got kids or a dog, you probably just got a couple hours of sleep. And so, or if you have a phone, that anybody know what I'm talking about here? Yeah, that was a pretty good impression, by the way. If that goes off during the service, hey, it's all right. We're all human, so don't like freak out, like run out of here if your phone goes off. My phone will be going off too. Actually, I'm gonna turn it on quiet just in case. Anyhow, it is good to be with you guys. Man, I'm excited to open up the word with you. If you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn to John chapter 18. I'm gonna get there in just a moment. I wanna cover a few items and give you some information that I think will be helpful, especially as we enter into Easter weekend. And so as we've been doing the last couple years, we are gonna be gathered here on Friday evening at 6 p.m. for a Good Friday gathering. Anyone is welcome, there's no RSVP, so we're gonna be gathered in this room on Friday. And the reason why we do that is because I think our tendency in Easter is to get to the resurrection. Anybody excited about the resurrection though? Anybody besides me? I'm so excited about that. But for us and for me, as I get to lead this church, I wanna make sure that we don't just jump over the crucifixion in order to get to the resurrection. And so I'm really, really have this conviction that we really need to sit in the power and the beauty of the crucifixion. So on Friday night, we're gonna gather in this room. We're gonna have a live stream available if you can't be here in person. And we're gonna sing a few songs, and then I'm gonna preach the cross and the beauty and the power of what happened on the cross when Jesus was hanging there and he says, it is finished, and he yielded up his spirit to the Father. What does that teach us, not just about getting into heaven, salvation, but what does that teach us about God and his nature? What's that teach us about us as we walk with him? And so I want to encourage you. Good Friday is one of my favorite gatherings that we have. It's one of my favorite times to preach because it's so powerful and so beautiful. And honestly, many of us, including myself, we've got to recalibrate maybe what we thought about the cross and the beauty in it. So I want to encourage you. 6 o'clock on Friday, we're going to be here in this room. Anyone's welcome. You can bring your friends, family, whatever you want. You can also join us online. So that's Friday. And then on Sunday, and so Sunday, Easter, obviously lots going on. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. So this next Sunday, a week from today, we are going to be having three services. So 9, 11, and 1. Everybody say that. 9, 11, and 1. All right. So three services. But they're going to be a little bit different than what we've been having here. And the reason is because on Easter, people tend to come back to church that haven't been to church for a while, or people that have not been in church ever for whatever reason, whether somebody invites them or maybe they just feel, hey, I need some hope. And so they find themselves in a church. And so here's what we want to do on Easter is we want to be a place where anybody can come. Does anybody else want to be that kind of church, right? And what I don't want as I lead this church is to ever get to a place where we have to tell somebody they can't come in because we don't have any room for them. Anybody else agree with that? That would be really bad if somebody shows up from Easter and says, I want to be at church for the first time in a long time. And we have to say, hey, can you stay in the foyer because we have no room in here? That's not my heart. And so we added this extra service. But in this, I just want to make sure, especially for our 9 o'clock crew, because y'all have been so faithful and incredible to be here in the midst of this, but we're going to change things up a little bit for these three gatherings. So I want you to just lean in for a second. If you're online, just lean in for a second. So our 9 and 11 p.m., that would be a late Easter service. Our 9 and 11 a.m. service next week are both going to be open seating, and we're not going to limit how many people can come in, okay? So we're going to ask people to self-distance, and people can come in and do the thing. But our 1 p.m. service, because we want to honor those that still say, hey, I'd like to be in a smaller environment, our 1 p.m. service is going to be a socially distanced service. So we're going to have every other row like we are right now. And we're still asking everybody RSVP. Now, before you say, well, what's up with that? Well, just let me give you my heart. There's a reason why we would do that. It's not because we don't love our 9 a.m. crew. It's because a guest or somebody who has not been in church for a long time or never been part of our church is unlikely going to come at 1 p.m. Just be honest. but they are very apt to show up at a 9 or 11 o'clock. And so we want to give space for people. I don't want to turn people away and say, hey, we got no room in the inn. I've heard that story, right? And so we're making space. So if you are a person that loves to have a little bit more space and you want some smaller gathering, I would encourage you to RSVP for the 1 p.m. We are going to have kids ministry at all three. And so it's going to be an incredible day. They're doing some incredible planning. It's going to be a fun day. And so I just wanted to give you an update. But every service, just like we have been for the last few years, we're asking you to RSVP. So you can go to the website, christfellowship.me, and you can register for the gathering you want. You also will be able to see how full each one of them is. So maybe you want a little smaller gathering. So maybe at the 9 o'clock, it's a little less full. You go to that one. Or maybe you just choose to come to the 1 p.m. Whichever one you join us, or if you join us online, man, we're prayerful and we're excited about what God's going to do next weekend. And so if you have any questions, man, feel free to reach out to the church, email us, call the office. We'll be able to help you out in any way. And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking about a lot of my friends who are pastors in the region. And man, there's some incredible churches. There's so many incredible churches in the Tri-Cities. Do anybody else agree with me? So many incredible churches. We are one of many awesome churches. And so this morning, what I would like us to do, I want us to take a minute and I want us to pray for another church. I think it's so important. I love that song where it says that all the streams will become one. Man, that's a beautiful picture of the kingdom, right? It's not the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostals. No, it's all of us under the banner of Jesus. And so here's what I want to do. I want us to, as a church, pray for different churches all around. Maybe it's the church you grew up in. Maybe you just pray a blessing over them and their pastor. Maybe it's a church that you attended previously, or maybe you got a friend that goes to another church. But just all around the room, you know, and online, a couple hundred different people in here and online, let's just take a moment and let's pray a blessing over that church, specifically as we head into Easter. Because I'm telling you, pastors can get sideways and get anxious, and I just want pastors in this region to be at peace and to operate with faith. Can we all say amen to that? Y'all with me today? So let's just take a moment and just by name, would you just bless another church in our region and ask whatever you're praying that would happen here at our church at Christ Fellowship, that it would happen at their church. Let's just pray that right now. Just lift up another church. And then let's just pray specifically that that many would be drawn to Jesus over this next weekend. Not church, not a religion, but would be drawn to Jesus. And so can we pray just for Jesus to be lifted up? And he said all would be drawn to him if we would lift him up. Not our agendas, not our vision, but lift him up. And so let's pray for many, many people to engage with Jesus this weekend. Yeah, Lord, that's my prayer, Lord, that you said that the harvest is white, it's ready, and that you said pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. And so, Lord, we want to be a people, we want to be a region where we receive and we co-labor with you to see people come to life. And so, Lord, we bless the many incredible churches in our city, in our region, for the pastors and teams that lead them. Lord, I pray for just faith and expectancy of what you're gonna do this weekend. And I pray for those that have been far from the church that you would draw them back. Lord, I pray for those that have never really had a relationship with you, that there would be just an interest, a curiosity, that you would draw people like magnets to churches all over our region. That people would encounter you, the living God. They'd be set free. They'd find life. So Lord, we bless you, we bless your desire, and we say, Lord, we want to be part of your harvest, part of those coming to life. May it be so in this church, but in all those in our region as well and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, today we're going to continue our series as we've been marching through the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John. Last week, Richie did such an incredible job of opening up John 17, the beautiful prayer of Jesus. Richie and I talked before he preached. There's so much meat in that section, and so I'm super proud of him for how he navigated that, how he leaned into eternal life as knowing God, and how the glory of God is really summed up in our wholeness, our oneness with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Beautiful scripture, beautiful, powerful things that Jesus prayed. But today, I want to take another step towards the cross and towards the resurrection as we navigate through this Gospel of John as he tells the story of the last few days of Jesus' life. And in John chapter 18, we're going to pick up after Jesus has been arrested. So Judas has betrayed him. He's been arrested. Peter has denied Jesus multiple times. The rooster has crowed. So that is happening. All the disciples have scattered. They've deserted him. And now Jesus finds himself in front of Pilate, who is a governor, the governor of the territory of Judea or Judea. And he is a very powerful man. And the Jews bring him to them because of one thing. They want Jesus dead. The religious leaders, they don't want Jesus put in prison. They don't want Jesus to have community service. They want Jesus dead. And they don't have that power, so they bring him to the one in the region that has the power to save or to kill on the earth. And we get this conversation that Jesus has with Pilate beginning in verse 33. So Pilate entered the headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, and this is where we're going to go first. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." And then Pilate said to him, "So are you a king?" And Jesus said, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose, for this very purpose, I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then Pilate said to him and asked this question that I think many of us have, what is truth? What is truth? And so today really is twofold, really two hopes in opening up the scriptures. One, that we would look at when Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world," but we'd also look at the end. What does it mean that he said the people of the truth, they listen to his word? So first I want to talk about the kingdom of God. Now, if you've been at this church very long at all, or if you've ever sat down and had any kind of conversation with me about faith, about Jesus, you will hear me talk about the kingdom of God. It gets me so, so excited. It's one of the topics that I love to study more than anything else. And it's one of the things that I think is important to God, because when we look at the kingdom of God, we see it was the primary message of Jesus. It's the meta narrative. It's the big picture of all of the Bible. The Old Testament foreshadowed Jesus came to inaugurate, and one day the kingdom of God is going to be established fully on the earth. And so it's the big picture of what God wants to see on the earth is the kingdom. So just to make sure we're on the same page, I want to make sure we have the right definitions, because definitions mean a lot when we're talking about things. So when I say the kingdom of God, this is what I mean. I mean the rule and reign of God. The rule and reign of God, or it's wherever God's will or desire is established. It's where whatever God desires is received, embraced, and lived out. You better bet you in that moment the kingdom of God is there. Now we live in some tension here, because in heaven, God is residing. Jesus is on the throne. Everybody say amen to that, right? Y'all with me today. Jesus is on the throne in heaven. And so I want you to know that in heaven, the fullness of the kingdom of God is established, that there is no question of who are we worshiping in heaven. There's not like, no, it's Jesus. There's no question about, man, where is the light? It is Jesus, the light of the world. He is lighting up heaven. There's no question about, man, what is right and what is wrong. In heaven, there is nothing false, because what is false cannot exist in the presence of a God who is true. And so in heaven, the fullness of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, God's heart, his will, his desire, it is established. But how many of you know it's not all here on this earth? Does anybody else agree that the kingdom of God is not fully here? Can we see some hands today, get a little activity here? Right, we live in a world that's got some brokenness. And when I say some, a lot of brokenness. That we live in a world where the rule and reign of God is not fully established on the earth as it is in heaven. We live in a world where the heart and desire of God is not fully realized. And so we live in a tension. What Jesus says here is, is interesting. He says, the kingdom, my kingdom, is not from this world. And so what I want you to see, though, is that the kingdom of God is not from this world, but the world was created for the kingdom of God. So important that we begin to see this, that the kingdom of God is not, the source of it is not the earth. The source or where the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, is not here on the earth. It's not created. It always has been. It comes from the king. But that kingdom, that rule and reign of God, it is for the earth. He created the earth so that his rule and reign could be all over the earth. So this topic of the kingdom, it is at the core of Jesus' message, the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And that's why I love when Jesus breaks onto the scene. We start reading, and when he becomes around 30 years old, he begins to preach and do some things in public. And when he does that, we read that his first message is really simple. So he's baptized in the Jordan. He comes out. He's led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God for 40 days of fasting and testing. And it says out of that, he came out of that time under the power of the Holy Spirit. It says the angels ministered to him. And I love it. It says he was hungry. You know, how many of you would be hungry after 40 days? So Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, I love that. And then he gets out and he begins to declare why he came to earth. And he says this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. He says, from this time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, change your mind. That's what that word repent means. It means change your mind about everything. You guys think you know what this kingdom's gonna look like? You think I am gonna set up a certain kingdom in a certain way? I want you to just shake all that out because I'm gonna show you what all the prophets were talking about when the kingdom would be established on the earth and the king shows up. So change your mind. You have to be willing to change if you're gonna receive all that God has for you. And he begins to preach the kingdom of God. And it wasn't just his first sermon. Let me tell you, it was almost every sermon Jesus preached. And it wasn't just what he preached, it was also what he did when he walked the earth. And so he's proclaiming the kingdom of God is right here in your midst, but he would also demonstrate the kingdom. He would demonstrate the kingdom by speaking to the people that none of the religious leaders would speak to. He would speak a word of identity, you're my daughter. He would speak truth over people. He would heal those that were sick. He would cast out demons. He would say, man, if somebody is delivered from a demon, the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come upon them. He raised the dead, both spiritually and physically. Jesus didn't just preach the kingdom of God. He expressed the kingdom of God in his actions. And he began to do this all through his life. And then here we see here in John 18, he's still talking about the kingdom. And then even after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, Acts chapter 1, it says he spent 40 days with his disciples, critical time that Jesus had before his ascension. And in that 40 days, we read in Acts 1 that he spent the time teaching about the kingdom of God. Whew. And then in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, look at what we see. This is future tense. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You hear that? Wake up call. Thank you, Lord, for that timing. Wake up, church. Listen, the kingdom of God is going to be on the earth as it is in heaven. That's why he taught us to pray. What did he teach us to pray? Lord, let your will be done. May your kingdom come. What? On earth, in Kingsport, in this region, as what? As it is where? In heaven, where everything is aligned with his will and his desire. He wants us to be a people that carry the kingdom on the earth and advance it everywhere we go. Because one day, this world is not going to be what we know of right now. It's going to be the new earth. And on that new earth, the kingdom of God is going to be fully established. It's going to be beautiful. And I love how this passage in Revelation just shows us there's a big difference between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And I think in this moment, Jesus is teaching us some things about the kingdom and how different it is. There's this guy, he's an author, incredible man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Anybody ever heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer? He's got this quote. It says, a king who dies on the cross must be the king of a rather strange kingdom. A king who's willing to die on a cross must be the king of a rather strange kingdom. Now think about it, in this moment, Jesus is having a conversation with Pilate, who is a man of authority. He's a man that has people working for him. He's a man of prosperity, a man that has power on the earth. He has a lot of the things that this kingdom of this world would celebrate. And then you have Jesus in this conversation. So in this conversation, we have Pilate, which I believe represents the kingdom of this world, and we have Jesus representing the kingdom of God. And in this, we see the dynamic tension between the two. We see how polarizing the two are, because in the kingdom of this world, things are very different than the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of this world, the kingdom is all about what I can get. The kingdom of this world is about self-promotion, self-protection. It's steeped in fear. It's ruled by power. The goal is to get many people to work under you or for you. Kingdom of this world, it's live for the moment, because that's all we're gonna have. The kingdom of this world is what Jamie talks about often. It has a scarcity mindset. Man, there's only so much, so you better get yours so nobody else will get yours. The kingdom of this world is one that is deeply steeped in me. And it's false. So Jesus in this moment is painting a picture that we are still learning, that this is the kingdom of this world, all the things that it's missing. But he's saying, I came to bring about a new kingdom, a different way of living. In Jesus' kingdom, it's quite strange, as Bonhoeffer says, because in the kingdom of God, a servant is the greatest. In the kingdom of God, if you wanna be first, you better get yourself to the back of the line. In the kingdom of God, if you want to have promotion, you better humble yourself. And if you're going to operate with pride, you better be ready for a fall. In the kingdom of God, sacrificial love is the goal in every situation. Do you see how strange that is when you hold that up against the world? You see, he says, my kingdom hasn't come from the world, but his desire is that it would be established in the world. And I'm telling you, as people that are part of the kingdom of God, we are a people that need some discernment in this day. We are a people that we need to have some discernment. Man, is this thing that I'm hearing, is it coming, and does it represent the kingdom of this world or the kingdom of God? Because when I speak and when I act, I am either bringing one or the other to the table. And so we as the people of God, we need to recognize, man, when somebody's speaking, is it steeped in self-promotion, self-protection, fear, power, or is there a genuine love for other people? Is there a willingness to sacrifice? Is there a willingness to honor? And we want to be a people that lean into that kingdom. This is what Jesus is establishing. There is a kingdom, but it's not of this world, but it is for this world. And you and I, my friends, we get to establish it on this earth. And so he talks about the kingdom, and then he goes on, and I think he extends the conversation about the kingdom. And Pilate says this, so are you a king? I remember Pilate's a pretty high up ranking guy. And just like Herod when Jesus was born, he was a little insecure when he heard about a king was coming. And so what did Herod do? He had all the babies under two killed. Can you imagine how insecure you'd have to be to have that happen? And so I think probably in Pilate, there's probably a little insecurity coming up where he's like, man, if this guy's a king, what's that mean to me? And so he asks him again, are you a king? And look what Jesus says. He says, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So I want to finish today with talking about truth, because this is one of the last few words that Jesus shares, one of the last incredible pieces of revelation that Jesus gives us before his crucifixion. And what I want you to see is that truth reveals what is false so that we can be set free. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, because this is, man, we could just sit here and just meditate on this. That truth, it reveals what is false with the purpose of you and I being set free. And then Pilate asked this question, what is truth? Where does truth come from? And what I want you to see here is Jesus says, if you are of the truth, you listen to my voice. And so what we see is the voice of God leads us into all truth. The voice of God leads us into all truth. We know this from John 10:27. My sheep hear my what? Voice, and I know them and they follow me. John 16, I just preached this a couple weeks ago. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all what? Truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And so what I want you to see is that it's the voice of God that is the essence, is the source of truth in our life in every situation. He said, those that are of the truth, listen, they hear and they listen, they align their lives with what I say. And so he says, what is truth? What is truth? And we live in a world that is asking that same question. What is truth? Is there such thing as truth? Is there such thing as an absolute? Is there such thing as something that's always true? And as the people of God, we need discernment. As the people of God, we need to be anchored in what is truth. What is true? And thankfully, we have two very specific things that the Lord has given us that help us know what is truth. It's not CNN or Fox News. Somebody say amen. It's definitely not Facebook or Twitter. Amen. It's not the tradition you were raised in. It's not what your mama taught you, although I'm sure there was a lot of truth in that. What is truth? Where do you and I turn when we don't know what's true? Where do we go? As people of God, where do we go? Well, two things the scriptures give us. Number one, John 17:17 says this. This is the prayer of Jesus that Richie talked about last week. He says to the Father in his prayer, sanctify them in the what? Truth. Your word is what? Okay, the front row is helping me out. Where's my back row people at? Come on now. Your word is what? Okay, one more time. Let's get a little louder. Your word is what? Truth. So man, if we want to know what is true, he says right here, Jesus's words, he says, your word, God, is truth. In any situation, we want to lean into God. What are you saying? What is your voice saying? Now here's a couple things in this, and we teach this often, and sometimes I sound like a broken record, and I'm all right with that because I want to make sure we get this as a church. So when we say your word is truth, how many of you know the Bible is the word of God? Anybody else agree with that today? Are we still awake here today? Right? The Bible is the word. And so, man, when I've got a situation, I want to go to this, not as I have to, or not because the pastor said to, because I want to search out, God, what is true about what you say about me? What is true about who you are? What's true about my circumstance? So I turn to the word of God because this word is truth, and we believe that at this church, and we yield to whatever this word says, but we also believe at this church that God speaks in a million different ways. Man, it's always gonna align with this word, but he speaks in a million, infinite amount of ways, and specifically, honestly, he speaks to you how he wired you. Some of us, God speaks to us through nature. It's Romans 1. Some of us, God speaks through us through songs. Sometimes he speaks through other people. The counsel of godly is so important. The godly men and women is so important in our life. Oftentimes when we pray and ask him questions, he'll speak if we're willing to listen and receive from him. And so he says, my word, it is truth. And we know John chapter 8, verse 31, 32 says that if you abide in my what? Word. There it is. You are truly my disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Woo! It says, if you abide in my word, Derek, if you would rest and set yourself and anchor and tether yourself to my word, my eternal word, when I speak through the written word or I speak the rhema word, if you will abide in that and rest in that and align with that, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what again? Set you free. How many of you want to be free? Man, I want to be free in every area of my life. And he says, it's the word of God that sets us free. And so in any situation, this is what I need to know. And I love how Scott said this. He lives this out so beautifully. I love that he opened up today, set it up perfectly. In any situation, I want to know, God, what are you saying? About this conflict in my life, God, what are you saying? About this opportunity in my life, God, what are you saying in this moment? From your word, through my prayer, through the counsel of other men and women who are in relationship with you, God, what are you saying? I need to know your truth, and in that, I will be set free. Your word is truth. So as followers of Jesus, we fully believe that there is truth, and it's found in his word, both the written word and the spoken word. If it comes from God, it's truth. And in John chapter 1, we see something else. He says that the word, there it is again, the word became what? Flesh, and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and what? There's that word again. Truth. And look at verse 17, the next slide there. For the law was given through Moses, grace and what again? Truth came through who? Jesus Christ. So if you want to know where truth comes from, we have the word of God. Yes. But we also, if we want to know what truth looks like, we can look at the life of Jesus because he is the word that became flesh. And so in any situation, I want to go back to the gospels and say, Jesus, what did you say about this? What did you do when you were confronted with this thing? What did you do when you were persecuted? What did you do when people came against you? Jesus, what did you do when you fill in the blank? And so if I want to know what truth is, I want to be a student of Jesus. That's what a disciple is, by the way. It's not church attendance, although that's important. It's not keeping your running Bible app, how many days you've been in the Bible. That's great and needed, but being a disciple of Jesus means that I'm learning, I'm studying, I'm in relationship with Jesus with the purpose of being like him. And what Jesus said in John 14 is crucial. Jesus said this in John 14, I am the way, and I am the what? Truth, and I am the life. So Jesus, he doesn't like make us guess, like what is truth? Pilate's saying, what is truth? What is truth? And Jesus could have easily said, you're looking at him. In any situation, we want to lean in. Man, what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus doing in my circumstance? Because in that we will know truth. He said, those that are of the truth, listen to my voice. Man, this is why at this church, we feel a huge part of disciple making is helping people learn the voice of God. How he speaks, when he speaks, what he sounds like, how do we filter out? That's Jesus or the burrito I had last night. You know, we need to be able to discern what is God saying, because the people of truth, they listen to his voice. Now today, I wanna close with giving you a real practical example, and then I'm gonna give us a chance to I believe, experience some freedom in this room and online. You know, what does this look like in our lives? And so Jesus says, those that are of the truth, listen to my voice. And we know truth sets us free. What does that look like? Well, in my experience in my life, much of my career, and even before I got in my career, I've been in leadership roles. And if you're in any kind of leadership roles, in education, business owner, business leader, politics, government, whatever, anything in between. Being a leader is always challenging, but man, I'll tell you, this last year, it's been something, my goodness. It's super challenging. So many different obstacles and opportunities. And so being a pastor, like leading a business or like leading an organization is similar, but it's a little unique because in being a pastor in ministry, I get invited into some intimate moments of life. I get invited into moments that are celebratory, like babies being born. Chris Ball, by the way, his wife, Lisette, they just had their little baby, which is awesome. We celebrate Winston, little Winston. So I get invited into that. I get invited into, man, salvation, which is incredible. Heaven celebrates. I get invited into marriages where both of them want to see restoration or are willing to die to themselves and work towards restoration. I get invited into these amazing holy moments, but I also get invited to some really hard moments in life where a spouse is left and this other spouse is trying to figure out, what do I do now? where I get a chance to walk alongside families when they've laid a loved one to rest and they're no longer gonna be walking the earth with them. I hear stories of brokenness and pain and bondage and all kinds of things. And it's a gift. It really is an honor and a joy. But with that, let me just tell you, there's moments that are challenging. And over the last 6 years of being in vocational ministry, in leadership of churches, both here in Houston, let me just tell you, there's some days that are really hard. And I'm not saying that to feel bad for me. I love my job. I love it. It's so much joy in me to get to do this. But there are days that are hard. And honestly, there's some times that there are situations that are really hard. Man, there's times when people want to say things about you. There's people that lie about you or your church. There's people that come against you in whatever reason. I can tell you, I learned so much about me by talking to people in our community sometimes. It's fun sometimes. And in those moments, let me tell you what's really easy. It's really easy for my heart to get hard. Oh my goodness. It's really easy for my justice bone, that's Derek's justice bone, not God's justice bone, by the way, where somebody has said something about me, and what is our first response? I wanna return like for like, fire for fire. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? Oh my goodness. Man, they posted this thing on social media. Man, I wanna make sure everybody knows what's true. Anybody else, can we just say, anybody else agree with me there? Man, it's so easy for our desire to get even or for us to tell our story and to put our spin on it. It's so easy. And listen, I've been there many times. And if we're not careful, if we don't have discernment, we can easily have a heart that becomes really hard and heavy and cynical and bitter. And so this is what it looks like in my life. Oh my goodness, this is what it looks like. Real life here. So when that happens, this is what I need. I need truth. I don't need my wife's truth. I don't need my truth, because you know, in this day and age, we all have our truth, right? I don't need my truth. I need truth with a capital T. And I need truth in two areas. And so I'm giving you a real practical example here because I think this is gonna be helpful in your life. Two practical things that I need truth in. First, I need to know what is true about the person who's coming against me. I don't get that on social media. I don't get them from that from listening to what they say. You know where I get that? From the Father who created them. So this is what it looks like real practically for me. I say, God, this person has made me really angry and man, I wanna light them up, but that's me, it's not you. And so I'm gonna die to myself and I'm gonna say, God, what do you say? What is truth? What is your voice say about this person? Remind me who they are and give me your perspective. Man, I'll tell you what, that takes a ton of dying to self. It's not fun, but it's the way of the kingdom. My friend Vernon, he's been here before. He runs His Voice Global. His mom has passed away, but she was an addict and really struggled with a lot of things and really caused a lot of pain and suffering in his life and his sibling's life. And there's a lot of pain and disconnect. And before she died, a couple years before she died, he just got to the point where he said, Lord, what do you see when you see my wife, my mom? What do you see when you see my mom? And the Lord gave him this beautiful picture of a little girl about 4 or 5 years old running around in this perfectly white dress. It's innocent, it's beauty. It reminded my friend Vernon that his mom never set out to be an addict. And she never had a dream in first grade to be a deadbeat mom and to let him down, never. And because of that truth that the voice of the Lord spoke to him, it allowed him to engage in his mom a whole different way. And there was restoration. And even on her deathbed, he was able to be beside his mom and be an incredible son and see restoration in that. You see the power of it. And so in those moments where I'm like, man, God, I am angry. I want like for like. I want people to know. It's Lord, what do you say about this person? I hold them up to Jesus and say, Jesus, show me who this person is. And sometimes it's the word of God. This person is made in my image, Derek. James says, listen, guys, you bless the Lord in one moment, in the next moment with the same mouth, you curse those that are made in his image. He said, it ought not to be so. He said, Derek, listen, they're made in my image. I want you to see them as I see them. I want you to see there's a reason why they're doing what they're doing. Derek, also, there's a reason why you do some of the things you do. Don't you love the Lord sometimes? Just get you. And so I let his voice, his word, set me on truth. And the second thing that I need to know in any of those situations, and I need to know this constantly, is God, what do you say about me? Not what these people say, not what my church people say, not what my family, but God, what do you say about me? Set me on truth. What is your voice? And so I'll sit before the Lord and I say, God, tell me again what you see when you see Derek Harden. Man, what do you say about me today? What are your thoughts towards me? And when that happens, there's an opportunity as I hear truth for me to receive and live out that truth. And when that happens, repentance, or I change my mind and I align with him. And when I do that, guess what happens? The kingdom of God breaks in. The kingdom of God, and I'm set free. And I don't have to feel the weight of carrying these people's pain or these people's frustrations or these people's anger, or that I've let somebody down or that they've said these things about. I don't have to carry that. You know why? Because the truth's what sets us free. And so today I want to close, and I was praying last night, and I felt like the Lord was just saying, Derek, I want you to give me space to do that. I believe that the Lord wants to set some people free online and in this room today. It's not just knowing about God, and it's not just knowing about the right things to say, the right verse to say, but it's about choosing to receive and to align with truth. Jesus said, those that are of the truth, hear my voice, listen to my voice. So I'm gonna ask you just to close your eyes, and I'm just gonna lead us through a prayer, and we're gonna ask the Holy Spirit just to do some work in us. And I'm believing that there'll be people in this room and online right now or later in the day that are gonna be set free, that the heaviness, that the burden that you may be carrying, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, that today, I'm telling you right now, you can walk out of here without it. I'm gonna just proclaim that over you. You can walk out of here not holding on to some things today. Right now, it's the great transaction. We give it to the Lord and he gives it back. And so, Holy Spirit, in this moment where we set our eyes on you, I'm asking that you would do the deep work of the Spirit, that you would illuminate us to truth, that you would speak truth into us, and that we would be a people that receive it, that we would be fertile, cultivated soil today. So Holy Spirit, would you, just all over this room and online, would you, in your kindness, show us any person in our life that we are, that we're holding on to bitterness against, where we are withholding forgiveness. Any person where our thoughts towards them are not aligned with your love. Just remind us of that person, Lord. I pray we just show us, remind us quickly. Maybe it's a whole group of people. Maybe it's just a single person. And so here's the application of the truth today that Jesus is talking about. We want to hold that person up to Jesus, and we want to ask him, God, what do you see when you see this person? I'm telling you, it takes some humility. But I just want you to ask the Lord, and I'll just help you. Lord, would you show us this person in our life? What do you say about them? Man, what do you see when you see them? Let him speak to you. And then we want to just take a step of obedience today. Forgiveness is a word that means to cut off the debt. It doesn't mean that that person is not going to receive justice, but it just means that justice is that of Jesus, not your own. And so I just want to give you a moment to just say, Lord, I forgive this person for how they've hurt me, how they've caused pain in my life. I forgive them. That doesn't mean you call what was done to you good or right. It just means that you're not going to let that offense rob you of the life that God has for you. So I just out loud, just all over the room, just don't say it loud. Just say, Lord, I forgive. You fill in the blank of that person. And this is where the kingdom of God is hard and challenging, but he says that in the kingdom, we bless those that persecute us and we pray for them. And I'm going to tell you, man, there's something powerful when we can align ourselves with the truth of God and His Word, and we can pray a blessing. Man, I'm telling you, it's something happens in my heart when I pray over those that maybe the world will consider my enemies, that God says, if they're your enemy, guess what, Derek, you're called to do? Love them. Pray for them, bless them. And so right now, just a powerful, powerful step. I want you to bless that person. Say, Lord, bless that person. Pray that the love of God would be received today even, that they would have an encounter with God today. Truth sets us free. It's so free to not have to try to take control or to try to do things on our own, but to align ourselves with the King who is the King of truth. So lastly, I want to take a moment because I think it's important for us as we do this that we also hear what God is saying about us. This is so important. And so Holy Spirit, you take what Jesus is saying in heaven and you bring it to the earth. This is why we have an advantage. And so we ask today that you would speak into our hearts right now, remind us of a scripture, give us a word, give us something that would remind us of what you say about us. What is true today about what you say, Lord? Lord, I thank you for your word as we abide in your word, that you reveal truth, that when you speak, when we open up this incredible text, that you speak truth and that your truth leads us to freedom. Lord, I pray a blessing over those in this room that have navigated just this moment with you and in honesty with you. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that don't just talk about freedom, but we live in freedom, that we don't keep turning around and going back into slavery of fear, but we would walk in our identity as children of God, as those that have been set free. Lord, may this be a house of freedom, that we be a people that walk as kingdom citizens, free from bitterness, free from unforgiveness, free from anger and malice and slander and gossip. Lord, free us. Free us from so much that holds us back from experiencing your life. Lord, may we hear your voice and not just hear it, but may we align with it. May we believe what you say above every other thing. Lord, I bless this church. I bless those that we consider our enemies. I bless those that are in our community, that we would be kingdom citizens. The kingdom that's not from this world, but is of and in this world. Establish it in our homes, in our places of work, in our community. For the glory and the renown of Jesus. Amen.
What is truth? A question asked over 2,000 years ago. Truth is the Word of God, and truth is the Son of God. Truth is a person, and that person is Jesus, and He lives in you, and you are in Him. That is the truth, and that truth will set you free. Hey, before we dismiss this morning, just want to remind you again of what we have coming up this weekend. Derek talked about it earlier. This Friday, Good Friday, April the 2nd, we have a 6 p.m. Good Friday service. No RSVP needed. We'll be doing communion, and it'll just be an intimate time to worship. So we encourage you guys to come out and invite your family and friends. And then next Sunday, April 4th, Easter Sunday, we have three services. We have a 9 and an 11 a.m. Those two services are open seating. And then our 1 p.m. service, that is socially distanced seating. All three services, we will be providing our family ministries. And we just encourage you, please go ahead and RSVP online so that we know which service you and your family will be attending so that we can be prepared for you next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Hey, have a great week. Be blessed. The ushers will come forward and dismiss you by row.